There you go. So we're looking at the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. Okay, this is after Avshalom. This is, David is 66, 67 years old. He's going to die in 3 years. Okay, there's not much story left here. But Sheva ben Bichri is starting a rebellion. He wants to split the kingdom into Yehuda and Yisrael. That's kind of where this is heading. And David wants to nip this in the bud. We looked at these psukim already. David tells Amasa, who's his chief of staff, Hazek li at ish Yehuda, muster up all the men of Yehuda, shloshet mim, for the next 3 days. Batap ha'amod, and then come back here, back to Yerushalayim. We need to go attack. Vayach Amasa hazik at Yehuda, and Amasa goes to call for, to muster, I like that word, to bring them up. All of Yehuda, vayocher min ha'moed, but he was late. 3 days later, he's late from the Amoed Asher Yadu, from the time, the appointed time that they had set up. So then, Vayomar David al Abishai. So David tells Abishai, another one of his generals, Ata Yeralanu Sheva Bichri min Avshalom. Okay, if this goes on, Sheva Bichri will be worse than Avshalom. Avshalom wanted to take over the kingdom. Sheva Bichri wants to split it. We've talked about that. This is bad. So now, Ata Kach Lecha, Kach et Abdei Adonacha. Now take the servants of your master, that food is me. I take whoever is here, Radaf Acharav, and go chase him, pen Matzaloi, Erim, Butzroth, lest he find himself in a fortified cities, Vitzil, and Enenel, be saved from us, from our eyes. He hides away. This is only going to spread. We need to stop this now. Vitzu Acharav, and Shei Yoav, so the people of Yoav, Yoav's men go with him, with Abishai, Vachreti, Bapleti, and about the Kareti Plati is the Kol Gibarim, is heroes who are a combination judge, jury, and executioner. They leave relatively small force to go after Sheva ben Bichri. We have to remember who everybody is. So we're going to go through all the characters here. David has two older sisters, Abigail and Tsruya. That's not his wife Abigail, that's his sister Abigail. I guess it's a common name. Like, Abigail, my father's happy. So if you have a daughter and you actually like daughters, then you name your kid Abigail. So Tsruya has three sons that we know about. They are Abishai, Yoav, and Asahel. And Abigail has one son that we know of, who's named Amasa. And all of them served as David's military leaders. They kept it all in the family. Yoav, the son of Tsruya, was David's chief of staff. Asahel was killed. Asahel, who's Yoav's brother, is killed in the civil war at the beginning of David's rule. When David was a king in Hebron, Ishbosheth, Shaul's son, is the king of the rest of Israel. And there's this battle between people of the soldiers of David, soldiers of Ishbosheth, that nobody wanted. This was during the middle of the peace negotiations. They started fighting each other. And Asahel, Yoav's brother, so that's David's nephew, chases after Abner, who is Shaul's chief of staff. Abner begs him to stop, but Asahel keeps going, and Abner just kills him. So basically self-defense. We know that. So, but what happens later is Amasa, who's David's nephew by his other sister, joins Avshalom in Avshalom's rebellion. But when Yoav kills Avshalom and rebukes David, that was the last parak, David fires Yoav and hires Amasa in his place. So where we are, David's got all these nephews. They're all generals. Yoav was the general, but now is the words from Perek Yotet, Amasa Tamru, and David tells his people, you need to tell Amasa, who was Avshalom's general, you need to tell him, Halo Atzmi B'Sri Ata, you are my flesh and blood, Koyasil Yokim Koyasif, I swear the following, Yosar Tzvati Elfanai, so I am hiring you, Amasa, Koyamim Tacha Yoav, I'm firing Yoav. That's where we left them. So right now, David tells Amasa, we need to go back to fight Sheva ben Bichri. Amasa doesn't come, so he tells Avishai, who's Yoav's brother, because he's the next one in command. Okay, we need to go fight Shepard Bickery. Yoav is nowhere to be seen because Yoav has been fired. However, the army is still loyal to Yoav, right? The people who go after Avishai is Vayetsu Acharav. After Avishai are Anshe Yoav. They still consider themselves Yoav's men, even though Yoav is no longer the general there, right? And way back, Perek Yud Aleph, Uriah is Bathsheba's husband. When he talks to David, he refers to Yoav and not David as Adoni, my master. Everyone's loyal to David, to Uriah. The army is loyal to Uriah, not to David. Right? Vayomer Uriah David, Aron vayishrav Yehuda yashrim b'sukkot. Look, Uriah tells David, I can't go back home. The Aron, all of Israel, are living in tents, but Adoni Yoav and my master Yoav. The king, Vaadei Adoni, and the servants of my master are on the fields. It's very clear that the soldiers are following Yoav. So that's going to be important for what happens next. What happens next in this story, so Avishai is going out. Amasa is nowhere to be found. He's the one that was supposed to get everyone together, but he's not there. And then Yoav is going to pop up in the middle of this. Yoav has been bearing this grudge since he was fired here. So this will get ugly. So next pasuk in our parak. And they all meet up at the big rock in Givon. This obviously was a known place. But Amasa bowed to him. And now they see Amasa. There's Amasa who is late. He didn't muster everybody up. So Avishai goes out and is going out in his place. But Yoav, and Yoav pops out of here, Chagur Mido, is wearing his uniform. Chagur Mido, Lov Sho, Alav Chagur Cherub, and he's got a scabbard with his sword in it. Matzmed Amatnav is tied to his thigh, Batara, in its sheath. Who you'd say? And Yoav goes out, Batipol. And it falls. Tipol here is feminine, talking about the cherub. The sword falls out. Okay, so Avishai is going to, it sees Amasa in the distance. Amasa is there at this rock, and Yoav comes out from wherever he was, and he's walking toward them, and his sword falls. Setting up the scene here. And this is kind of weird because Yoav is a seasoned warrior. He doesn't just drop his sword. Okay, the puzzle is making a point that the cherub is mitzmeted. It's tied to his thigh. This is not an accident. The sword is falling out. Right? So this is where Mitzvah David puts up this scene what we have here, where you'd say that may have been in this car, that Yoav comes around from out from behind this rock. And the sword falls out when he leans over a little bit. Asher shachar takin malav, as though he stepped down to tie his shoe, and oops, the sword fell out. Lachame eres b'smalo, and so Yoav, as he's approaching them, comes up and he picks up his sword, which has fallen out. It's now in his left hand. As he's walking to him with the sword in his left hand, so he goes. He's got the sword in his hand. He goes up to Amasa, and he's really friendly. This is Amasa who's taken his place. Right? Yoav's been fired. Amasa is the new general. Yoav tells Amasa, Hashalom ata achi. How are you, brother? And Yoav grabs Amasa's beard in his right hand as though to kiss him. It's a little weird. But Amasa, it says, Amasa lo nishmar. And Amasa was not paying attention to the sword that was in Yoav's left hand. This was in all innocence. Oh, it just happened to fall out. So you know where this is going, right? So Yoav stabs Amasa under the fifth rib. And his guts fall out. And he doesn't repeat it. He doesn't spend any time stabbing again. And Amasa dies there. Yoav Avishai Achayev. So Yoav and his brother Radav Achrei Shev Bichri go on and keep chasing Shev Bichri, leaving Amasa's body there. Okay, this is entirely in character for Yoav. We know Yoav. He holds grudges. And he really likes that fifth rib thing. Okay, we've seen this before with the story with Abner. I mentioned before that Abner's Shaul's general had killed Yoav's brother Asahel. And then afterwards, so this is 33 years before the story over here, way back. This is from Perek Yemo. While there was a war between the house of Shaul and the house of David, Abner hayamet chazek beveit Shaul, and Abner is Shaul's general. He's the one who supports Shaul. And then there's a fall. Abner has a falling out with Shaul's son, and Abner wants to join David. We're going to reunite the kingdom. Then Abner sends messengers to David from his place, Lemar Lemia Aretz, and say, you own the land, Lemar Kartabri Techa Itis, sign a treaty with me, Hine Yadia Mimcha, then I will join you. I will bring all of Israel to you, David. We will reunite the kingdom. So Abner meets with David and he says, I will go back and I will go bring. I will bring to my master the king, to you, David, and call Yisrael. I will bring all of Israel back to you. We will unite the kingdom. And they will have a treaty, have a covenant with you. And you will rule over everything you want. We will unite the kingdom. And David sends Abner, and he goes out in peace. And we all know that Vayelech B'Shalom is a bad sign. What?
Bishalom.
Bishalom is a bad thing, okay? Because this is what happened next. Bishalom is good. Bishalom is you're done. Bine avdei David Yoav ba mini gedud. And now, while Abner is left, Yoav and his men have returned from the field. Shal Ravi Mahem Mevio, and they have all the spoils. Abner and Inu and David, but Abner had already left. He was no longer there. Bechevron. Yishalchu David Yoav Bishalom, because he had been sent and had left Bishalom. In case we missed the point, the last passage. Yoav call it Tzava Ito Ba'o. So Yoav and all his forces come to David. And they tell Yoav that Abner had come to the king. And we're going to point this out for a third time. And they went in peace. Right? They tell Yoav that. Yoav doesn't go to David at all. And Yoav comes to the king and yells at him, what have you done? Abner was in your hands and you let him go free. He is your enemy. You can't trust him. You know Abner ben Ner. He's there to fool you, to entice you. To know where you are and where you're going. He was a spy. He's not really trying to make peace. And Yoav goes out and leaves David. So he sends messages to Abner. To tell him, David wants you back. He comes back from the city of Borasara. And Abner returns to Hebron. And Yoav brings him to the gate by the Ber Elav Bishali to speak with him in peace. And there Abner stabs him under that chomesh, that fifth rib. And he kills him because of Asahel. Okay, in case you were curious where that fifth rib is, this is from a medical site where you're trying to do a liver biopsy. Yoav is not doing a liver biopsy. He is doing a liver removal, but it's the same point here. It's really under, from our point of view, it's the eighth rib, this fifth from the bottom here. That seems to be consistent where they're stabbing here, and I'll guess all that. That's Yoav, right? Yoav has ambushed David's general because Yoav was fired. He's now stabbed him, and now Yoav is now going to be leading the forces to fight Sheba ben Bichri. And David knows that Yoav is dangerous. This is from David's last will and testament to Shlomo. As David is dying, son Shlomo, you're going to be king. Gamata yadata. And you know, Esher Asali Yoav ben Shuria. You know what Yoav did to me. Asher asal l'shnei sarei tzvaot Yisrael, what he did to the two generals of Israel, Abner ben Ner l'Amasa ben Yeter, to Abner and Amasa when he stabbed them, v'yargim v'yasem b'mei melchama v'shalom, he killed them and started a war where there should have been peace. Abner came with a chance to stop the civil war between Beit David and Beit Shaul. Yoav killed him. Here we have Amasa, who was hired as a way of sort of ending the fight with Avshalom. Now Yoav's killed him as well. And he stained his clothing, his cloak, with the blood of war, and with his shoes that were on his feet, which is why the Mitzvah David says that this, you know, the sword falling out when he picks it up was because he was tying his shoe. That's the hint over here, the Na'alo. David tells Shlomo, you should do according to your wisdom. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you're a smart man. Oh, let him not die in peace. David knows that. Yoav is dangerous. However, Yoav is a good guy. It's kind of a problem. Okay? Yoav is never betraying David. He's always loyal. He's always doing what he is sure David needs to happen. He just doesn't think David knows it. Right? David is too trusting of all these other people. He kills Abner because, you know, that he does it, that David should never have trusted Abner in the first place. He kills Amasa because Amasa clearly is not competent to be the chief of staff, and only I'm the one who can do it. So therefore, I'm going to save Israel. I'm going to save David from himself. I'm going to kill the guy he hired. And only I can save the people. Yoav really means well. It's the only way to solve problems with this whole fifth rib thing. So now they press on. Okay. Now Yoav is in the lead. Yoav and Abishai, Achiv, it's Yoav, and then Abishai's brother are chasing after Sheva ben Bichri. That's what's happening. Sanhedrin points that out, that Yoav really thinks that he's doing the right thing. That's the Gemara, that when Shlomo is talking to Yoav, trying to speak, you know, saying, okay, you are deserving of death. My time at the Taltela Amasa. Why'd you kill Amasa? Amasa was rebelling against the king. So it says, he said, you need to get it, arrest everybody for the next 3 years. And then Amasa was late. Obviously, he's not capable of being the general. And he insisted on being that instead of me. Obviously, he needs to get rid of it. And the Gemara continues to emphasize that point, that he served the people. He really was trying to be loyal here. This is the Gemara continues on there. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Abba Bar Kahana said, Ilema David lo asa. Ilema David. If it were not to David, lo asa Yoav milchama. If it weren't for David being the king, then Yoav would never have fought his wars. Ilema Yoav. If it wasn't for Yoav, lo asak David b'Torah. And if it wasn't for Yoav fighting the war, David could not have been back doing learning Torah, writing Tehillim. They needed each other. It says, "Vayi David osem mishpat zekal cholamo." Yoav ben Tsruya al tzava. Those went together. David is doing justice while Yoav is on as the head of the army. We only see the negative side, but he really is doing. In general, he was doing good. These obviously were bad things, but he thought he was doing the right thing. Matam David osem mishpat zekal cholamo. Why was it that David could do mishpat zekal for his people? To the Yoav al tzava. Because Yoav was on the army, Matam Yoav at Savan, how did Yoav get his power? Yishim David Osei Mishpat Zakah, because David was king. They worked together. And similarly, talking about Yoav, the Gemara continues. In Malachim it says, Vayikaver Yoav Veito Bamidbar, that Yoav was buried after his death in his house in the wilderness. And Atu Beito Bamidbaru, and it was... The Gemara asks, was his house really in the wilderness? He was living in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Kami Bar. His house was like the wilderness. Ma'amid Bar, Mufkar Lakol, Apeito Shal Yoav, Mufkar Lakol. His house was open to everyone. He was generous. He would offer everything to anyone. Dabar Acher, Kami Bar. Midbar Minukami Geza Arayot, Afe Tosha Yoab Minukami Geza Arayot. Just like the wilderness, there is no theft, everything is open. So too his how that he never engaged in theft, no arayot, no immorality. He was a strict religious, a fine, upstanding person.
It seems like the word midbar seems like the opposite. It sounds desolate and threatening, and you know, deadly scorpions live there.
Okay. And I think that dialectic is right there in Yoav's life as well, right? That's exactly right. Yes, it was open to all and incredibly threatening if you didn't know exactly what you were doing and it was made one misstep and then you were dead. Okay, and I think that's very much the sense of Yoav here. He's a good person to have on your side. But it doesn't work out well because at some point you're going to step wrong and then it's going to stab you.
Danny, are you going to tell us who Sheva ben Bichri is again? Because I already forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so that was beginning of the parak. So that Sheva ben Bichri is from Binyamin, who says Ein lanu chelek b'David. All of us in the north in Yisrael have no part. That David is just interested in Yehuda. We are going to split the kingdom, right? Yisrael is going to go with Sheva ben Bichri. David is going to go. David will be the king over Yehuda. So Sheva ben Bichri, as the Midrash says, is the father of Yeravam ben Nevat.
Oh, he's the father. Okay.
Now, I'm not reading not as literally, but literally, thematically. Okay. The split that happens of Yeravam ben Nevat splits the northern kingdom from the southern kingdom. That is going to happen here. Sheva ben Bichri is leading that rebellion, and David is going to suppress it.
Okay.
He will, right, that's a spoiler here, right? This kingdom will not split in this chapter. You've got a couple more chapters into Malachim when that actually happens.
Okay.
But meanwhile, they are chasing after Sheva ben Bichri, trying to stop him. We've got this family battle where Yoav is stabbed Amasa in the ribs. Hi, David. They just finished davening?
I just got home.
Yeah, I davened at the earlier minyan. So we're talking about Amasa as David's general, and Yoav, who has been fired, has just stabbed Amasa in the ribs and killed him. Because Yoav didn't like being fired. So we continue on in describing how generous Yoav was. Remember, all of the army was loyal to Yoav. They saw Yoav as the Adon, not David as that, because it says here when David invests in Yerushalayim, Karlo Ir David, he calls Yerushalayim Ir David, Yoav Yechayet Shara Ir, and Yoav literally gave life to the rest of the city. He supported the city of Yerushalayim. Yehuda, Afilu Munini V'tzadchana Ta'im Paris Lahu. They even gave out, no one's quite sure what Munini and Tzadchana Ta'im means, delicious, right? He gave treats out to everyone in Yerushalayim. He was a candy man in Shul, in addition to stabbing people in the ribs. He was generous with everybody. That's the character. So now what happens? Okay, so within the art context, back in Perachach, Yoav has just stabbed Amasa, who is the general of David's forces. And now all the forces that came with Abishai are there watching this happen. Bish Amad Allah Menere Yoav. And a person, anonymous Na'ar from Yoav's people, look at this. Yomer, and he says, Miyasha Chapezbe Yoav, whoever is still loyal to Yoav, Miyasha David, and whoever is to David Achra Yoav, should chase up, go after Yoav. Don't worry about, now we got to follow Yoav now. He just killed the general. Don't worry about him, he's just there. Amasa mitgalel b'dam b'tocha mesila. And Amasa is rolling around in his blood in the road. Just visualize the scene. Ayarish, so this anonymous person sees Kiyamad Kola'am, that everyone's just standing and staring in shock. They're just standing there. So he rolls out the body out of the road, and he throws a blanket over him. because he saw that everyone was just stopping and staring. So kasher hagamin misila, and as soon as he moves the body away from the road, avar kol ish achrei Yoav. Then the people chase after Yoav. They're dof achrei shev ben bichri. That's it.
It's sort of gruesome. They don't even bury him.
That is incredibly gruesome. I mean, just visualize the scene, right? He's been stabbed, and so one of the people say, "Okay, now we're following Yoav." I just have this image of Die Hard 2. Anyone remember that movie?
I saw them all, but they sort of run together.
The supposed good guys are actually are working in a conspiracy with the bad guys. And one of the supposed good guys wasn't in on the original conspiracy, so they just all of a sudden just slit his neck, throw him out of the bus, and then join up with the bad guys in there. That's what's happened here, right? David's counting on these people to save his kingdom, and what's happening now is we've got a whole nother insurrection happening. Okay, so this is not good. So Yoav is now effectively the general of the army, despite David's command. And again, Yoav is completely loyal to David. He's convinced that everything he's doing is exactly what David needs, even though David doesn't realize that. Now, I'm never the boss of anybody, but I don't know anyone who actually does have, so underlings have anybody who's like that. I don't know. Susie's looking and thinking about a couple of people who are doing exactly like this. Maybe not stabbing, but
stabbing. Yeah.
Figurative backstabbing, because it's in the best interest of the company. Mm. Okay. And what happens is that at the end of this parak, David accedes to this. Okay. David doesn't have the choice. David is stuck and will not get rid of Yoav until he tells Shlomo to do it later. Then that's the end of this parak. Okay. It says, Yoav al kol tzva Yisrael. Yoav became the ruler of the general of Israel. Benayav ben Yehuda al kreti pleti, and that's a separate Benayav ben Yehuda, who will under Shlomo be the general chief of the chief of staff. He's still just this kreti pleti, this smaller force. Yoav owns the army. There we are. The text isn't going to deal with this right now. So now we have Yoav leading this smaller force, going chasing after Sheva and Bichri. David Yerushalayim has no idea what's going on. Right? As far as he knows, Abishai is joining the Amasa, and they're going out, and Yoav is retired to his house by Midbar and is not causing any trouble. The part continues.
Who doesn't have any idea that this is happening, David?
David. David's back in Yerushalayim. David sends Abishai out to go join up with Amasa and go take out Sheva ben Bichri. Yoav is the one who has popped out from behind the rock in Givon, stabbed Amasa, and then joined up with Abishai, who is completely unsurprised by all of this, and gone off to lead the army. Meanwhile, back what we're supposed to be dealing with the whole Sheva ben Bichri thing. And he went throughout all the tribes of Israel. And we're going to assume that by now, it's a little unclear who went through the tribes. We assume this is back the story of Sheva ben Bichri, right? He is trying to instigate this civil war. So he has, while this was all happening and everyone's trying to get everything together, he has gone throughout the tribes of Israel. And then ends up in Avela Obet Macha, which is a city in Binyamin, Bechol HaBirim, and along with all the Birim. But that means Vaykalu Vaivo Achacharav, and they joined him. Sheva ben Bichri, this is the Barba now. Vaivo Bechol Shevet Yisrael. Sipir Katu, Sheva ben Bichri, that this talking about Sheva ben Bichri, Sheamar Mimena Besamuch Ledof Achare Sheva ben Bichri, because he was the one last mentioned, okay, that's when we know who the subject is. Who are Barba Kol Yisrael? With Fatah Tom, he trying to convince them, to entice them to join him. The barrel, the bump, connect David, and to incite them against David. Avar ad Avela, Shehu, Belisa, Shublisaper Ir Asher Barsham. He went to Avel, which is the city that he went to. We don't know what any city name of Avel. Somewhere. Vamruod, and they said, in addition, it says Beit Macha b'kol Birim, and these people are from Beit Macha and the Birim. Let's look at them. Who the Veklamata, which was in the suburbs of Avela. Yamar Sheben Bichri Avar b'kol Shev Yisrael b'halach Avela v'shebit. So Sheben Bichri goes to Avela v'shebit Beit Macha b'kol Birim nikalu v'yavo afacharav, and the people of this area joined him. And Avela Shediskav Shema, that's where he was. The Sheva Bichri has been on the run. It ends up in the city of Avela, which is a little foreshadowing, right? Avela is the city of mourning is where he ends up in. And there is Beit Macha and the Birim. The question is, what are these Birim that join him? And Rashi says, I have no idea. Birim, lo yadati mahu. I have no idea what it's telling me. I have no idea who these people are.
Danny,
yeah,
does that berim, does that come from bear, you know, prachim, bear, wildflowers?
So bear meaning wild is Aramaic, not Hebrew.
Oh,
so most of the other commentators assume it's short for bear. Well,
right, that's what I would have thought.
Oh, okay,
so commentators assume it must be in the area of Binyamin, and there's a city of Be'erot in Binyamin. We know that. We'll see that this is a Rabag. That the Birim came and joined Sheva Bichri. Right? I think Shem Anshe Be'erot, the people of Be'erot, and we have a city named Binyamin, and this is from Yeshua, and he's dividing it up. So you, Harim Lamata, and the cities in the valleys, the Bnei Binyamin Shepachotam, so Binyamin, part of Binyamin was in the mountains up to Yerushalayim. Harvard and valleys, and it was Yericho, Beit Chegla, Ve'emek Mitzitin, Givon. I just said Givon, which we know that's where the Mishkan was. Baharama Ubeirot. That was a city in Binyamin in the valley.
Where was the Mishkan?
In Givon.
Oh, exactly. So Shiloh now, but is that the same
place? After the Shiloh was destroyed.
Oh, they moved to Givon?
Then it moved to Nov.
Yeah.
And then Shaul kills the Kohen in Nov,
all
and
right.
Then the Mishkan is moved to Givon.
Right. Okay.
So right now, throughout the time of David, the Mishkan is in Givon.
Okay.
And the Aaron's in Yerushalayim, and Shlomo is going to bring them together. Excuse me.
Okay.
But the key thing is that there's this city of Be'erot that's part of Binyamin. What's interesting about Be'erot is that Givon is not just the name of a city, it was the name of one of the seven nations of Canaan.
Mm.
Givonim, who lived in Givon, obviously, but Beirut was one
of the ones who pretended to convert, but they really didn't convert.
Exactly.
Shemesh B'Givon Dome, right? Is that, that's...
That was part of the, that was the big battle. So Janet pointed out that the Givonim are the ones who pretended to be from far away and signed a treaty with Yeshua, don't kill us, and it turns out they were local, and that Yeshua continues to defend them. And then the other Canaanite come and attack Givon because they made a treaty with Yeshua, and that's when the Shemesh B'Givon Dome battle happened.
Yeah.
Yes, and he remembers that Yeshua, very good. So we're going to go through that, the story in Yeshua about the Givonim. Yoshua Givon, this is verse 19. Yoshua Givon, Shimu at Asher Asai Yoshua L'Richo V'Gai, Ulai. So the people in Givon heard what happened in Yericho and Ai. These are the first two battles of Bnei Israel as they enter the land. Vesukam Hema Be'arma. So they do tricky things. Ve'achu Ve'yatziru, and they went Ve'yatziru, and they made themselves miserable. Ve'chusa Kim Balim. They took old sackcloth, Achamarahem, for the holy sacks for their donkeys. No doubt, Yayin Balim and worn out wineskins, Mavakim, Mitzorim, that were torn and broken. They have acted like they were coming far away. They asked him, Yeshua Shalom, they call him Brit Chachayotah. So he signs a treaty with them, they're going to let them live. They shrew Lahem, they say, and everyone swore that we, you, Givonim, we will support. And then when they find out they're really local, they go and join up with them in their cities, the cities of the Gibeonim. Barahem, what were their cities? Gibeon, Bakfira, Ubeirot, and Kriyat Yarim. Those are the cities of the Gibeonim. Beirot. It's been one of those cities. And and this is really Rabbi Shulman from Rabbi Medan. When we look at, and much later, Ishbosheth is Shoshan. He's the one who's king in, of Yisrael, while David is king in Hebron of Yehuda. And Ishbosheth is assassinated by those who think that David is going to be happy about this. And people who assassinate him are from Be'erot. We had this. We talked about the story of Abner being killed, and now by this is by Shema ben Shaul, he made Abner the Hebron. As soon as Shaul's son heard that Abner is generally assassinated by Yoav, all these stories link together. Back in Hebron by Yerpu Yadav, and he felt weak. All Israel was hollow, and all of Israel was shocked. Ushnei Anashim, two men, Sarei Gidudim, they were heads of the camp, and general colonels, lieutenants, Hayu ben Shaul, that were there with Ishbosheth, son of Shaul, Shemachad Ba'anav, Shemashini Rechev, Rimon HaBe'erati. There were sons of Ramon from Be'era, Ibn Binyamin. Be'era was from Binyamin. Gam Be'erot Nechshava Binyamin. Be'erot was considered to be part of Binyamin. Someone points out that when we make this big deal that Be'erot belonged to Binyamin, that maybe these weren't from Binyamin. They were maybe the original Be'erotim. By Avrucha Be'erotim Gitma, Yosham Garim Ani Amazeh, and they ran to Gitma. By Elchub B'nei Ramon HaBe'erati, and the two sons of Ramon HaBe'erati, Rechavana, that's their names, Vago Kechomayom, the El Beit Ishboshet, and they come in the middle of the day to Ishboshet, Hushachev al Mishkav HaSarayim, and he was taking a nap. No one was very impressed by Ishboshet as a king. He was taking a nap in the middle of the day, Hinei Bo'o Atoch HaBayit, Lochech Yitim, and they came in as though they were wheat merchants, and they stab him in that fifth rib. This was like standard assassination points here. I have no idea in real life if this is a good way to kill people. Normally when I say that, I say you should ask your Orthodox rabbi, but don't ask them about that question either. but in Tanakh, that's where they seem to like to stab. Rechabana, Achab, Nimlatu, and they run away. By view at Rosh Ishboshet El David, Hebron, and they bring the head of Ishboshet to David Hebron. Look, here is the head of your enemy. He's trying to kill you. May he save you from Shaul and his sons. And David obviously is upset at this and has them killed. But again, they're from Be'erot. So it very much seems like these the people Be'erot, the Gibeon, which seem to be the Gibeonim, they're always involved in undermining Jewish sovereignty, right? They're the ones who are trying to say Boshet. They're the ones supporting Sheva ben Bichri against David. And at this point, they keep coming up as being a problem. And that will come to a head. We'll see that more next parak with the Gibeonim. That's just a little bit of a foreshadowing for the next parak. Because right now we've got a bunch of people of Gibeonim and Shevem Bichri in the city of Avela. And Yoav and his forces are coming to that city, and they're stuck because they're basically besieging it and they're stuck in the city wall. They don't have enough force to actually invade it. So by Avo, by Atsura Allah, by Avela Beit Macha. And they come, this is Yoav comes to besiege the city of Avela and Beit Ma'acha, this area of Binyamin, and they really cast down Salalah. We saw that same route as Misilah, a road, usually translate as siege works, to the city, and they stood in the Chel, which we'll look at what that is, and all of Yoav's people are trying to knock down the wall. They're all outside the wall, they're fighting it. And this is the situation that David was afraid of. I said that before. That now, he tells Avishai, Shevet Bichri is going to be worse than Avshalom. If he gets to, if he starts getting people to join him, he's going to split the kingdom. Now you need to go chase after him. Lest you find himself fortified cities, and he'll be saved from us. And that's exactly what happened. He's now in a fortified city. Now, what should have been a police action to arrest one man is now a full-scale battle and a siege.
So is this blamed on Yoav?
I don't know that we're blaming anyone here. If anyone, Amasa is the one who should have gone earlier and it says he took too much time.
Oh.
And that, again, that's Yoav's argument that obviously Amasa is incompetent. It needs me to do this. Because Amasa failed because he should have gotten Sheba ben Bichri before he got to a fortified city.
Oh, okay.
So Yoav's forces are, it says, Matamot Bechel staying the Chel. What a chel is a low wall outside the main wall. And I have this in the picture. We know that for the base of Mikdash. That's the wall of the base of Mikdash. This area here, that's called the chel, and all the area between that is also called the chel. So in the base of Mikdash, it was a sort of a warning zone that non-Jews were not supposed to go to the base of Mikdash. So they had signed through here that if you were here, better go back out. But X is a security zone. It's a free fire zone. And an invading army. Now anyone in here, we know is enemy. If you're locked up in this city, it's like having a moat there. So Yoav's forces are sitting in this area here, but they can't breach the wall. They're all around it, besieging the city. They're trying to undermine it. Okay, and this is because we're in. The 3 weeks. This is from Echa. The Beit Hamidrash had a chel and a choma, had a chel and a wall. Yomer Rabbi Acha became Rabbi Chanina. It says that what the chel and choma were shura ubar shura, the wall and the baby wall, literally. So the situation is very similar to Pelegas Ben Giva, right? Remember the story of Pelegas Ben Giva?
It was horrible.
It's horrible, right? This is going to be just as horrible.
Hi. But
Yoav's in charge here, right? He's going to wipe everybody out, right? We got Binyamin, who are harboring a fugitive. We got Bnei Yisrael are besieging the city. The inhabitants of the city refuse to give them up. Right? Because Giba ended badly. We know that, right? Sheva Binyamin was already nearly completely wiped out. Thousands died from both sides. And that's exactly where we're going here. We're setting this up. So we know exactly what's happening. Yo is going to massacre everybody and probably start wiping out all of Sheva Binyamin, right? Just to finish what started Ben Plagas Begiva. And the fact that this is supposed to keep the country from falling apart, he will solve the problem by making it fall apart even further. That's exactly what Yoav does, right? You solve problems by killing people, but unfortunately it tends to make things worse, okay? And we know that Yoav will massacre civilians. He's done it before. Okay, this is a story of Yoav in Edom. And David conquers Edom way back in Perechet. I mentioned this in the Chumashir. But Vahi biyot David et Edom, when David was in Edom, Balot Yoav Sarasava, when Yoav went, Yoav the general went to Kaver to Chalalim to bury the casualties. Because the word Edom went very badly. He goes to bury the casualty of the Jewish army. He killed all the men of Edom. Yoav spent 6 months with the army of Bnei Israel there in Edom, ad hachrit kol zachar b'edom, until he wiped out all the men in Edom. Even taking that as an exaggeration, that wasn't 100% of all the men. Still, that's where we end up with Edom happening here. So what happens? The answer is the city is saved, the country is saved by an Isha Chochma. There's a wise woman. and we'll have to spend time looking at our wise women here. Women solve all problems, right?
Is that story told in Shokin too, or no?
In what do you think?
The wise woman, where they basically, they're going to attack the city unless she says, "Let me give you the person you're looking for," and don't attack the city, right?
Okay, so that's this story here. Shoftim is when Avimelech is attacking Shechem.
Yeah.
And a woman drops a millstone off the wall on his head.
Oh.
Okay, so she kills him and ends the battle directly.
I guess I...
Anyway, that's not a claim of being Chachma. This is the story of the Isha Chachma, the wise woman. But Dikra Isha Chachma Menir. So while this siege is happening, and we don't know her name, a wise woman calls out from the city. Shimu, Shimu, listen to me. Yimunal Yayoab, call Yoab. Karav Adhena, bring Yoab here. But Dabrai Lecha, let me talk to him. Let me talk to you, O Yoab. By Karav Eleha, so Yoab comes, he listens. This woman calling out from the wall of the city. Atom Risha, Ata Yoab. Are you Yoav? Ayomar Ani. I say, yep, I am Yoav. Tomer lo, and she says to him, Shema divrei amatcha. Listen to the words of your maidservant. Yomar Shemanachi. So he says, fine, I'm listening. Tomer lemar, and she said, in order to say. So she's calling out. She's got a loudspeaker to all the forces outside the wall, absolutely all the forces inside. Daber yedabru b'rishana lemar. Let it be said. This is the first thing we said. Lemar sha'ol yisha'u be'evel. That, we're about to see what that means. One should ask in Evel, that's our city, v'chein yitamu, and then things would end. And the way Rashi reads it, sha'ol yisha'u be'evel, im sha'alu b'rechilech b'shalom. If you had only talked first, here in Evel, v'chein yitamu, then miyad hayu b'ne'ir m'shalmim m'machem, then we could have had peace. You started by attacking. That was a mistake. You could have talked to us first. Anochi Shlomi Emunei Yisrael. I am Shlomi, one of the faithful of Israel. Atama Bakish Lamit Ir. You are going to kill the entire city in Israel. The aim of Israel and a mother in Israel, me, an innocent woman here. Lama Tivla Nachal Hashem. Why will all of the inheritance of God be swallowed up? We will destroy the country. So she calls herself Shlomi Emunei Yisrael. So Rashi says, "Anochi shlemi min Israel, ani mibnei ha'ir, shleimim v'nemanim l'Israel." I am a person of peace, and we are all peaceful. We are loyal to David. There's no reason for you to attack. And then Rashi brings an agada.
Midrash agada. Oh, Sarach bar Asher.
Oh yes, Janet knows this one. Thank you.
Yes, he's famous.
Okay, who is this Isha Chachma? The Midrash pours a vacuum. We know that. We've got a name, an anonymous person, we've got to give him a name. The Midrash, guys, Rashi brings it. The Midrash says, Serach bat Asher Haita. This wise woman who says, I am Shlomi Emunei Yisrael, I am faithful, I am a person of peace. This was the daughter of Asher. Ani Ashlamti Ne'aman, I am the one who created peace, I am the one who completed. One faithful to the one, the next, Yadi Nigla Aronosh to Yosef. I told Moshe where Aron Yosef was buried, and Yigati LeYakov Yosef Chai. I told Yaakov that Yosef was alive, and that's a lot of midrash to unpack. I think it's fascinating, so I'm going to do that.
She was like the Rip Van Winkle of Jewish folklore.
Exactly. So this part came from Bracha Jaffe, who evidently. I don't know exactly who she is, but she was profiled in the New York Times for being an Orthodox singer who's got YouTube videos that all say for women and girls only. So I've not listened to her because I respect her because she respects that. But she's got a couple of source pages on Safaria about Serach bat Asher as well, which didn't say for women only, so I saw it was okay to read them. You're not going to listen to her singing. We're going to have to look at that. But right now it's almost 10 o'clock. So I'm going to stop here and we're going to look at this, all the midrash about Serach ben Asher and how she fits into our story now. Yeah, Yoav on the outside is going to wipe everybody out. It is doing his best to help David. He's going to destroy everything. And now we have Serach and Asher calling out, don't kill everybody. I'm going to stop here.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning,
everybody.
You gonna turn off the recording?
Let's turn it. Right, is that my recording?
You are. It says you're recording.
Here we go. Stop recording.